The Beggar Woman of Locarno by Heinrich von Kleist. In the foothills of the Alps, near Locarno in northern Italy, there used to stand an old castle belonging to an Italian marquis, which can now, when one comes from the direction of the St. Goddard Pass, be seen lying in ruins, a castle with high-ceilinged, spacious rooms, in one of which the mistress of the house one day, having taken pity on an old sick woman who had turned up at the door begging, had allowed her to lie down on the floor on some straw they put there for her. The Marquis, by chance, on his return from hunting, entered this room to place his gun there as usual, and angrily ordered the woman to get up from the corner in which she was lying and remove herself to behind the stove. As she rose, the woman's crutch slipped on the polished floor, and she fell, dangerously injuring the lower part of her back. As a result, although she did manage with indescribable difficulty to get to her feet and to cross the room from one side to the other in the direction indicated, she collapsed, moaning and gasping, behind the stove, and expired. Several years later, when the Marquis found himself in straitened financial circumstances owing to war and a series of bad harvests, he was visited by a Florentine knight who wished to buy the castle from him because of its fine position. The Marquis, who was eager to effect this transaction, told his wife to accommodate their guest in the above-mentioned room, which was standing empty and was very beautifully and sumptuously furnished. But in the middle of the night, to the consternation of the husband and wife, the gentleman came downstairs to them, pale and distraught, assuring them on his solemn word that the room was haunted, for something that had been invisible to the eye had risen to its feet in the corner with a noise, as if it had been lying on straw, and had then, with audible steps, slowly and feebly crossed the room from one side to the other, and collapsed, moaning and gasping, behind the stove. The Marquis, filled with an alarm for which he himself could not account, dismissed his guest's fears with feigned laughter and declared that to calm them he would at once get up and spend the remaining hours of darkness with him in his room. But the knight begged to be permitted to remain in the Marquis's bedroom in an armchair, and when morning came he called for his carriage, took his leave, and departed. This incident caused an extraordinary stir and, to the Marquis's extreme vexation, deterred a number of purchasers. Consequently, when his own servants began to repeat the strange and inexplicable rumour that a ghost was walking at midnight in that particular room, he resolved to take decisive steps to refute this report by investigating the matter himself on the following night. Accordingly, when evening fell, he had his bed set up in the room in question and, without going to sleep, awaited midnight. But to his horror did he, in fact, on the stroke of the witching hour, hear the inexplicable sounds. Sounds as of someone rising from a bed of rustling straw and crossing the room from one side to the other, to collapse in moaning death agony behind the stove. When he came down next morning, the Marquise asked him how his investigation had gone, whereupon he looked about him apprehensively and uncertainly, bolted the door, and assured her that the reports about the hunting were true. At this, she was more terrified than ever before in her life, and begged him not to let the matter become generally known until he had once again, in cold blood and in her presence, put it to the test. But, sure enough, On the following night, both they and a loyal servant, whom they had asked to accompany them, heard the very same inexplicable ghostly sounds. And it was only because of their urgent desire to get rid of the castle at all costs that they were able, in their servant's presence, to conceal the dread that seized them, and to attribute the occurrence to some trivial and fortuitous cause which would no doubt come to light. When, on the third evening, the couple, determined to get to the bottom of the matter, again went upstairs with beating hearts to the guest room, it chanced that the house dog, which had been unchained, met them at the door. Whereupon, without any explicit discussion of why they did so, but perhaps instinctively desiring the company of some third living creature, they took the dog with them into the room. At about 11 o'clock, they each sat down on a bed, two candles burning on the table, the Marquis fully dressed, the Marquis with rapier and pistols, which he had taken out of the cupboard, laid in readiness beside him. And while they sat there, trying as best they could to entertain each other with conversation, the dog lay down in the middle of the room with its head on its paws and went to sleep. Presently, at exactly midnight, the terrible sounds were to be heard again, someone visible to no human eye, someone on crutches, rising and standing up in the corner of the room, the rustling of the straw, the tap, tap of the advancing steps. And at the very first of these, the dog, waking and starting to its feet with ears erect, began growling and barking exactly as if some person were walking towards it, and retreated backwards in the direction of the stove. At this sight, the Marquise, her hair standing on end, rushed from the room, and while her husband, snatching up his sword, shouted, "Who's there?" and on getting no answer, lunged like a madman in all directions through the empty air, she called for her carriage, resolving to drive off at once to the town. But even before she had packed a few belongings together and gone clattering through the gate, she saw the whole castle burst into flames around her. The Marquis, in a frenzy of horror, had seized a candle and, the house being panelled with wood throughout, had set fire to it at all four corners, weary of his life. In vain she sent in servants to rescue the unfortunate man. He had already perished miserably, and to this day his white bones, gathered together by the country people, still lie in that corner of the room in which he had ordered the beggar woman of Locarno to rise from her bed.